Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 287.
And we're going to continue here with chapter 21, verse 21. The 12 gates, description of the 12 gates that were there in the heavenly Jerusalem that is going to be on this earth with the Father and Jesus Christ. The head, that is, the 12 gates were made of 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass, that is glass. You see, and we're talking about a lot of stories about the pearly gates, you know, the golden streets of Jerusalem, and people think when you die, go to heaven, this is where you are. You see, that's a description of the city of God in heaven, but it's coming down to this earth, and this is where everybody's going to be. You see, there is a member of the body of Christ, or the bride of Christ, or the wife of God. What goes on beyond that, we don't know. We know this is as far as God gives us a description, but we know that the whole universe is out there at our feet. There are many places that talk about it, many ways, alluding to it, speaking about it, all kind of things like that. As Paul would say, what God has in mind, told the Corinthians in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, eye has not seen, he's quoting Isaiah, nor has it entered into the heart of man. Nobody has ever heard all the things that God has in mind for those who love him. So that's beyond us, what is going to be in the future. All we know is that we get to the point where the entirety of human beings, as Abraham looked forward to that time, is going to be in the heavenly Jerusalem, on this earth, as divine beings, members of the family of God. Well, the plan of God, where he said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and he did it on this earth, is fulfilled. And now the universe that he created, not in vain, not just to hang out there, is going to be at our feet. So this is, in essence, just the beginning at this point, even though it may seem to be as the end. And so, it says in verse 22, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. They are the temple, and we are the temple, and we're all going to be there. The people of God, the bride of Christ, the wife, you see. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, that is, you know, he's brilliant, he's like the sunshine, you don't need light there. The Lamb is its light also, and we too are going to to shine like the sun, so what need is there for lights? And the nations of those who are saved, who are going to be saved, you know, who are going to be the children of that marriage, children of the marriage between God, Jesus Christ, the King of Israel, and his reconstructed, renewed, refurbished, without spot and blemish, washed and cleansed, purged and purified, you know, atoned for, Israel is going to be the mother. And all these nations are going to be the children. That's a whole story from beginning until the end. And yet, you know, the pagan church, false church, constantly fought it and wanted that glory and honor in herself, you know, in honor to herself, claiming that she is the one replacing Israel. Hence, you got the replacement theology. You know, supersessionism and all that garbage and filthiness and demonic teachings that are circulating around, supposedly, as Christian doctrines, and they are not. They are of the devil. They are not of God. Israel will always be there, forever. You see? Not in their present state of mind. You know, most of them, they're rebellious, just like anybody else. And so, all the nations who are going to be saved, ultimately, all mankind, they shall walk in its light. I'm going to be in it. I'm going to walk in its light. That's a place for the bride. You see? In other words, children don't go into the bedroom of the father and the mother. They go into the children's room. That's the way it's going to be in the future. But all going to be spirit beings, divine, glorious, majestic. You see? And where they are going to be dispatched into the all corners of the universe, you know, to establish whatever. And Israel remains in heaven in Jerusalem, the wife, the bride. We don't know all those things. We're going to find out in the future. And so all the nations who were saved, you see, delivered from lawlessness and the consequences from the devil, from his death, from his deception, from his whore and harlots and other religions, they shall walk in its light. They're going to have their own. The light, the righteousness, the truth shall come from Jerusalem, and all of them are going to be righteous. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor to it. Exactly what it means, we'll find out when the time comes. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And mind you, they're speaking about the Jerusalem after, not the Jerusalem before, in the days of the millennium. We find similar, terminology of that Jerusalem in Isaiah 16, 66, and many other places. But there it's talking about the Jerusalem of the millennium, not the heavenly Jerusalem. So some people who are not careful can get confused with that. This terminology of both. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no more light night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Well, the Jerusalem of Jesus Christ is going to be also the same. Gates will not be closed, as you read in the prophets. The nations of the earth, who are not going to be obedient, are going to walk in the light of Jerusalem, because the Lord shall go forth out of Zion, where God is going to dwell, in the portion of the hall of the priests. The whole area is called the holy portion. One part given to Israel, one part to the priesthood, one part to the Levites. In the area of the priesthood, there will be the temple. But in the area of Jerusalem, on the other side, there will be the city of Jerusalem. And the tribes of Israel, that the representatives will be there to be a light of the nations. Well, this is not talking about that. That's beyond that. This is the second resurrection. After that, the heavenly Jerusalem. Yet similar descriptions, and always Israel is there, and always God is there, and always the law is there, you see. And yet the devil deceived the whole world to believe all the other lies. And for that reason, all these horrible calamities that we read about up to now are going to happen. And it's not going to be easy to convince people that they've been lied to. So God is going to have to bring an awful lot of fury on them. Basically, practically, almost decimate all of humanity, and then the remnant are going to walk in righteousness, and the rest will come back in the second resurrection. Now God says, okay, now let's talk. You see? Well, these are the nations. They've been finally saved. All those who ever lived, including Israel, we're going to come back in the second resurrection. They will join their own family, their own people, their bride, while the others will be the children, and they will be wherever they will be, all around. And that's what he's saying here. So, this all being now righteous people walking in the law of God, and they shall bring their glory and the honor of the nations into it. But, in contrast to them, they shall by no means enter it anything that defiles, neither the Jerusalem of Jesus Christ or the temple. You see, all those in the future, the one in the future, that is. But there shall be no, by no means, enter it anything that defiles, that means a lawless person, or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're not written there, you wouldn't be there. If you're not obedient to the law of God, for which reason he gave the blood of his Son to atone for your sins, transgression of the law, and you do not repent, you wouldn't be there. You see? You'll be dead. Ashes exist no more. That's what he's saying here. Chapter 22, final chapter. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, in the Jerusalem of Jesus Christ on this earth, in the millennium, you see the same description. You see, where the throne of God will be in Zion, and out of the throne will come river that will go to the Dead Sea and then the other one to the Mediterranean. That's a Jerusalem of the 1,000-year millennium. Then there is a heavenly Jerusalem. That's another story. Still, you see similar things because one is symbolic of the other. You see, and both are healers. And so this river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of its street, and on either side of the river was a tree of life, as it was in the Garden of Eden, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You see, how is it going to be exactly done? Why do they need healing at this point? We'll find out in the future. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Not demons, not Satan, not pagan religions, not false religions, but only him. When you serve God, you walk in his law. You don't walk in his law, you do not serve him. He is not your God, he is not your master, you are not his servant. Simple as that. So you see the law of God throughout, from beginning until the end. From the Garden of Eden, he gave them his law. They rebelled against him, walked in the way of Satan. They've been doing it ever since. And God will put an end to it. And now all of them are going to worship him, all of them, that is, and serve him and obey his law. And they're not going to go anymore for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what makes all the religions of this earth pagan to the core. The mixture of good and evil. That's the way of the devil. That's not the way of God. And they shall see his face, verse 4, and his name shall be on their foreheads. They're going to be his sons and daughters. His spirit is going to be in them. They shall bear his resemblance. They shall be like him in his image and likeness, spiritually, not only physically. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God, the Father, gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever, be eternal beings, live forever, not only on this earth, but the future universe that is ahead of us. And then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. They're not a bunch of words. These are true. They're going to happen, whether you believe it or not. You believe in it now or not, you know, you don't. It's neither here nor there. These are true and faithful. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. So now he goes back to the beginning of the book where he says, speaking about the Father who is sending Jesus Christ, his angel, his messenger. And he came to John and he spoke to him and he told him that he is the Alpha and the Omega. That's what he's saying here. You see, you got to keep in mind what you're reading. Don't lose your place and your train of thoughts. You see, when you're in tune with the Word of God, you understand that when you read it. So, the Lord God of the holy prophets, he sent his angel, the angel of the Lord, the King of Israel, the God of Israel. You see, and he's showing his servants the things which must shortly take place. Now this angel of the Lord, this God, this Lamb of God, this Savior, anointed, you know, Savior of Israel, who is the messenger of his Father. There are many other messengers, but this one is the messenger. You see, the angel of the Lord. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book, the entirety of it. How do you keep it? Just, you know, read about it, read about prophecy, get excited about it, about world events and things like that? No. If you do not understand the purpose of it, which is, if you do not obey the law of God, all these plagues are coming upon you. That's how you keep it. You walk in righteousness. You depart from lawlessness. You come out of Babylon. You walk in the truth of God. You walk in the law of God. Not in the law of the devil. Not in his cultures, his religions, his things. You know, that is his path, his ways, his thoughts, his ideas, his fables. You see, that's what he's talking about here. You're going to be blessed. Those who keep the words of the prophecy of this book, that's the intent of it, to give humanity a warning. You either repent or else I'm going to bring on you all this destruction, because God does not enjoy it. He does not want anyone to perish. That's why it's said about God, the Father. He so loved the world. Everyone, all these people, they're all confused. He knows that. The devil had done it to them. And so he gives them an opportunity. And over, unfortunately, in the first resurrection, before the first resurrection, the overwhelming majority of them do not take him on it. They continue to rebel and blaspheme his name. Most of them are dead after a short time. And even the third that is left behind, they still are not willing to repent. But those who are going to be blessed. That's what he's saying here. If you return, if you repent, if you recognize the kingdom of God is at hand, now it's really at hand, repent. When you repent, you get baptized. Symbolic of washing your filth and stench and pollution, you come out of the watery grave as a new person, a new man, and now you walk in the law. Not contrary to it. You walk in the Word of God. You walk in the truth. You walk... You know, in the path of life, you walk in Jesus, Jesus walks in you. That's the God of Israel. You walk in his law. That's what he means by that. You eat his flesh and you drink his blood. You become like him. And then you reach divinity. That's the blessing he's talking about here. Now I, John, verse 8, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down. Again, he's making the same mistake. You know, some people just forget, you know, because of this and that. And all of us do that. We know better. We get overwhelmed, and we forget. God knows that. He's patient with us. So here again, he repeats the same mistake. I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, who is not the angel of the Lord, you see, who showed me these things. Because there is the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And then he sends his servants also, you see, his angels, to do his bidding, be it Gabriel and Michael and all that, but he's the ultimate angel of the Lord. And he's the one that told the prophets, Jesus Christ, angel of the Lord. So sometimes you have to understand, is he talking about one of the angels, you see, or is he talking about his son? And sometimes he talks about his son, other times it's not. You know, and if you don't know that, you get confused, and you think that an angel, you know, could be the angel of the Lord, that is, Jesus Christ, another time it's not. And that's what he's saying here. Now, this is the angel that he fell before. This is not Jesus Christ. I think I mentioned earlier that he was. It was not. That was my mistake. In other words, I was trying to show that there is an angel of the Lord, that is, Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate one. As he said in the beginning, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that appeared, you see, to John, speaking to him in person. And then also, at the same time, he sends his angel to speak to him, to give special messages, just like with Moses. He spoke to Moses face to face. But also you read later on, as Apostle Paul said to the Hebrews, that many of those messages that he gave to Moses were delivered actually by an angel. You see? Or angels, plural. So you have to understand when he's talking about himself standing there in person, you see, which he was in the beginning with the Apostle John. And when, later on, you know, he continues to deliver messages through other angels, and this is what, you know, can get confusing sometimes if you don't pay attention to that. In either case, God is speaking to Jesus Christ, who is speaking to John, who is giving him personal messages here and there, and, you know, with his angels, and so it goes. And John becomes an angel, that is a messenger, he now delivers it to us, to all those who are going to read this book, and probably in person to whomsoever he talked at the time while he was alive. And so he says, now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which was not obviously Christ, who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that. You know, he just did it, you know, again, second time, forgot all about it. He says, for I am your fellow servant. Now, obviously, he was not Jesus Christ, or else he would not have said that, though Jesus Christ himself is the angel of the Lord. And so he says, don't do it. I am one of your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets. You know, he too is a prophet. What does he mean, a prophet? He who brings the word of God. Well, he brought the word of God to John, even though earlier Jesus was standing there right in front of him and talking to him. And of those who keep the words of this book, worship God, he said. Don't worship man. Don't worship me. Don't worship anything else. Well, most people don't learn that. They've got all those idols in sport, idols in music, idols in the entertainment media and the movie industry. You know, everywhere they've got idols. They've got idols in churches. They bow down before them and talk to them. They bow down to Maria, to saints, to things like that. God said, worship God, not man. And man, you know, here it is, John, who should have known better. He bows down before an angel. And he knew better than that, but, you know, sometimes you got overcome, you don't think, and that's what you do. Well, that was a couple of things that he did. Now, it's not his manner, it's not his way, it's not his path, it's not his practice. See, so you cannot compare one with the other. But that's the principle. You worship God, not man, not angel, not anybody else. And he said to me, verse 10, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, that was 2,000 years, you see. That pass in between, almost. And yet when he told him that, you see, John thought, maybe even at the time, Christ was coming in his day, told him not to seal it. And then he realized, no, that's not what he meant. It's for those who are going to read it at the last generation, at the end time, when they read it, that's really applicable to them more than anybody else. And so it is to them that this message is really given, even though John is the one receiving it. And so it says, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust. That's the way you choose to be. That's your business. God is not going to force down his religion, you know, down your throat. And neither should the servants of God do it. It's not their business to do it. Nobody can convert anybody. You want to be unjust? There's nothing you can do about it. No man can do anything about it. Only God. That's what he's saying here. You got a choice in essence. It's not that he wants it that way. But God is going to still give you a freedom to walk in unrighteousness until you learn the lessons the hard way. But you have a choice to learn it the easy way. Let him be unjust, he said, still. That's the way he chooses. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, on the other hand, let him be righteous. Don't depart and become filthy and unjust. You see? In other words, don't become lawless. Be a law-abiding citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And God gave us only one law. You see? Not two religions, two faith, two ways of life. No, just one. There's no Christian God, God of the Jews. There's no Old Testament, New Testament teachings. It's one law, one doctrine, one faith, one Lord, one God. You see? That's what he's talking about here. You got a choice. You got to make it. Hopefully you make the right one, as Moses would tell Israel. Let him be righteous, he said. Still, he who is holy, let him be holy still. Continue in that path. Don't follow the devil. Don't fall from your steadfastness. Don't depart from the faith. Don't become lawless. Otherwise, all of your righteousness will never be recognized by God. Just like he did not recognize all the righteousness, as he said, of all those that came to him and said, they've done all kind of things in his name and preach in his name. He didn't recognize any of that because he said, you are lawless. You forsook the law of God. Even if you do not forsake all of it, even if you forsake only part of it, you've forsaken the law of God. That's what he's saying there. Obviously, they were not totally evil. And behold, he said, now he's saying that. Now the angel, Jesus Christ, is speaking again. The angel of the Lord. So see, back and forth, going on here. And when the angel of the Lord who's delivering a message and Jesus Christ, So you have to be careful, when is it that you're talking about Christ himself, who is also the angel of the Lord, and when it is an angel that he himself sent to speak to his prophets. And so it says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work, as it said in the beginning. You see, this is the law of God. You walk in it. Meditate on it day and night. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. You love me, keep my commandments. This is righteousness. You want to enter into life, keep the commandments, and so forth. These are the works he's talking about. And he's going to bring his reward when he comes. The righteous shall enter into the kingdom. Those to whom he gave talents, knowledge, truth, and rejected it, are not going to be there. You see? As for the rest, he's going to judge them in the final judgment of all humanity. You see, of all those who ever lived. So this is in particular, that judgment he's talking about is his own people. Some are righteous, and some unfortunately turned away from righteousness, and they were in essence the tares. And so that's what he's saying here. When I come, this is when I bring you my reward. It's not when you die and go to heaven. Verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His law is the same. His truth is the same. No changes there. That's, in essence, what he's saying here. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Again, you love me, keep my commandments. This is the law. As it told Joshua after Moses died. My servant Moses is dead. I'm alive, you see. I'm an eternal being. I'll live forever. So don't worry, I'll be with you. And then he told him, this is the book of the law. Meditate on it day and night if you want to have success in life. There is no other way. You see? And when he came in the flesh, he told his own people, don't think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to do away with it, but to fulfill, to magnify. Heaven and earth shall pass, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the Torah, from the law. This is not what pagan Rome had taught. The pagan religion that masquerades as the true church of God. The Gentile religion that despises the law of God and despises the people of God, be it the physical or the spiritual. You see? And tormented them and persecuted them, and they are yet going to do it in a much greater way than ever before. Because God sees a generation of Israelites who are rebellious against the law of God, and he's going to spank them in a manner, as he said, he had never done before. Imagine that. Even the Holocaust will pale into insignificance in essence in comparison to what is coming. Not only for the Jews, but for all mankind, but especially for the house of Israel, because God said he's going to punish his people Jacob first, and he's going to turn around and punish all those who punished Jacob, the nations of the earth. Everybody's going to get it. Nobody's going to escape. You see? And so he's saying that again. How many people listen to that? Blessed are those who do his commandments. Not that say, well, you know, the law of God is harsh, strict, not for me, done, away, nailed to the cross. You see? Where do you hear this kind of preaching? Even to this very day, even from Jews who, you know, invented their own do's and don'ts of the halacha, you'll never hear a Jew say the law of God is done away with. You see, nailed to the cross or nailed to whatever. You see, old stuff, not for us, Old Testament. They're not that stupid. They're not that foolish. They're not that blind. They're blind, but not that blind. But others who claim to be followers of Christ are as blind as a bat, and then they think that they are the true followers of Christ. And so that's what the God of Israel, the King, Jesus Christ, the one who fed them in the wilderness, spiritual food, his law, his teachings, his flesh, his blood, so to speak. That's what he said here again to all those who have an ear to hear. Blessed, not cursed. Some call the law of God a curse. Blessed are those who do his commandments, not just talk, praise him, honor him, sing to him, live by faith. No, do the commandments, works. You see? Works of the law, the entirety of it that is applicable to any given human being on the face of the earth that has a relationship with God. Do the commandments, that they may have the right. When you do that, then you have the right. Not because you have it by yourself, but because God gives it to you. That they may have the right to the tree of life. Which means if you do not keep the commandments, you have no right to it, and you can, you know, stand on your feet and hope and holler and praise God and praise the Lord and all that, all you want, nothing's going to happen. You have no right. You do not obey the commandments, you're useless to him. You see? And they would enter through the gates into the city, the heavenly city. You see? The city of Jerusalem, the great king. And the Father is going to be there with Jesus Christ. But in contrast to this, who are law-abiding, you know, citizens, literally now of the kingdom of heaven on earth, of the city of Jerusalem, the heavenly city of Jerusalem, in contrast to them, what happens to the lawless? What happens to Babylon, the children of Babylon, the rebels against the law of God, the despisers, those who have contempt against the law of God? Where are they going to be at that point? But outside are dogs. That's what he calls them. Barking dogs, you know, dogs. Does not even give them an honorable, you know, mention of people. Dogs and sorcerers. That's what they are. You see, children of the devil, children of darkness, and sexually immoral. And the whole world is full of them. And especially you find it in religion. Why do you think you have all this vomit that is in the papers all the time? Pedophiles calling themselves fathers, spiritual leaders, and a community of believers. You see? Sexually immoral. Where did they get it from? What if their mother is a whore? You see? And all those that came out of her, you know, all the churches are called the harlots. What kind of morality do you think they would have? That's what the problem is. It's not them. They're just the symptoms. They're just the end results. They're just the consequences of the one that fed them with the wine of the wrath of her fornications, that pretends to be the people of God and the servants of God. That's what the problem is. You go over there and solve the problem right there. Then you'll take care of the little guys out there who are trapped by those demonic doctrines. You know, you are a man with passions that God gave you, and testosterone and hormones and all that, and you're not capable of having a wonderful relationship with a woman. And yet you call yourself a father. You see, that's a religion of the devil. How many have fallen into that, thinking that they are worshipping God? And poor women also fall into that. They call them nuns. You see? Where did they get that from? Not from God. Where do you see things like that in the law of God? Nowhere. The command that God gave men from the beginning is, be fruitful and multiply. How do you do it if you don't get married? And God commanded Israel, you see, generally speaking, with the exception of those who devoted themselves to God, very few, but he commanded Israel, and all of them were married. All the Levites were married. All the priests were married. Most of the apostles had wives. Paul talked about it. You see, Peter had a wife. Many others had wives. Well, if Peter supposedly is the head of that pagan religion, and he was married, he probably had children, so all the other apostles, even though those are not mentioned, but that was by nature what you did. You got married, you had children. You see? Well, if he had a wife, how come supposedly the one that follows in his footsteps doesn't? He has the audacity of calling himself a father. Father of what? A lot of them literally really fathered, you know, in harlotry. They had prostitutes. They had mistresses. You know, in time past, you study the history of that pagan church, you'll find out all those things, even though they don't like to talk about it. You study history, and everybody knows it that studies history. You see? Well, that's applicable, in essence, to everybody else on the face of the earth if they play this kind of games, because you've got monks and you've got nuns in many other religions, pagan religions back east. That's not of God. Those people, God says, they're dogs. They're sorcerers. They have demons in them, spirit of demons in them. They're not the people of God. And those who are sexually immoral, there's a lot of that there, that pagan religion, that in the Middle Ages, as historians look at it, in those days, and after that, and they proclaimed Europe to be a vast insane asylum. There's so much corruption, pollution, defilement, you know, insanity, because of perverted sexuality there, that people just went crazy, you see? And a lot of people to this very day, men and women get married, are not capable of having a wonderful sexual relationship because of that poison of religion in them. And even nations that are not religious, like communist Russia for many years, but they've been polluted and defiled for many centuries by that pagan religion, their brand, you know, of that pagan religion, call it Russian Orthodox, you see. Well, the morality of that pagan religion remained there. And they too had those kind of problems. And they still do to this very day. So whether you're religious or not, the whole world has been affected by it. And there are very few people who can have a clean, pure mind, you see, in matters of sexuality with their own wives or their own daughters. Not that you have sex with them, but you have clean minds and hearts with them. And your aunts and cousins and, you know, nephews and people around you and friends. There's a pollution everywhere. That filth everywhere. That stench everywhere. That's why you have all this vomit out there, you know, called by different names, you see. And people go for it. They have it on the internet, in the movies, everywhere else. Why? Because they have departed from the law of God that taught them, just like when you read the Song of Songs, you can have abundance of pleasures in purity and wholesome passions and desires that God gave us all those things. What happens when you don't do it God's way, but you do it the devil's way? You've got pollution, you've got shame, you've got embarrassment, you've got taboos, you've got all kind of insanity problems that come from it, because that's one of the most powerful, you see, one of the most powerful urges that God gave us, human sexuality. What happens when you don't satisfy it in a wholesome, clean, pure manner? Even if you are married and have a wife, you still will have a problem, and a wife will have a problem. And they pass it on from generation to generation. Kids are born into it, you see. What do they have? Where do they get the information? You see? From the street, from pornography, from filthiness all around, not from God, not from the Word of God, not from the synagogue or the church, where it should be there in the open, clean, pure teachings, because the Word of God is full of it, you see? And God talks about it, and because that was not done, God is also talking about the immoral sexuality that was in His people, because their parents didn't teach them properly, the priesthood was not teaching properly, and so the devil gets in and his religions and all the vomit and filthiness that is there, and the people of God are being defiled, and the children of the earth are being defiled because of that, and poison is everywhere, and suffering and misery and sorrow is everywhere. That's why the law of God, it delivers you from that. It shows you the path, it shows you the way, it cleanses your mind, it purges your heart, You study day and night, you begin to have the nature and mind of God, then you are able to have pure, wholesome passion and desire with which you serve God, you see, and with which you love your wife, your mate, your friends, your neighbors. He's not talking about, you know, having sex with everybody. You don't have sex with God. You don't have sex with your, you know, your sister, your wife and all that. But that is with your wife, but not with your daughters, you know, or somebody else. But you see, but the elements are there. You love God and you love men with all of your passion, with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your spirit, you see, with everything that is in you, and you can do it when there is a defilement of the great whore inside your mind and your heart. And that's what the devil was doing. That's how he poisoned minds and hearts. That's why sex and religion and the community, the business community, go together. You see it everywhere. Why do you think they sell you a car showing a lady with a bikini, somebody's sister, later on maybe somebody's mother, somebody's daughter? Why is she there? That's of the devil. Taking that which is wholesome and clean and pure and polluting it and defiling it, that's what the great whore had done in the business community, in religion, in every other way. And very few are capable of having majestic, glorious, magnificent sexual relationship with their mates because of that. You see? That's what the book of Revelation is all about. And that's what the law of God has been there to teach us right from wrong. What is a wholesome, clean emotion, feeling, passion, desire, and what is not? You see? That's what it's talking about here. People who continue to walk in that path in that way, they are not going to be in this city of God, in His kingdom, you see, in His presence. That's why He called them dogs. They don't even behave like human beings. And a lot of them literally have kind of this kind of sex, like dogs. You know what they call them nowadays, as they did in the past. And yet they claim to also be, you know, good people, nice people, you know. A lot of them have churches. You find them in Judaism. Even some Orthodox Jews go for that, you know, homosexuality and lesbianism. God calls it, you know, the behavior of a dog. Well, dogs do it. That's by nature. That's okay. But when human beings behave in that manner, you know, either physically or spiritually, that's what God calls them. Dogs are going to be without. They can play all the games that they want. That they are people of God. They've got their churches and they've got their ministers. And they've got their rabbis, you know, men rabbis, lady rabbis. So what? These are all children of darkness, of Babylon, of the great whore, of the harlots. And Satan does not choose between this and that. Everybody is welcome to his camp. He's not choosy. He's not selective. In any given religion, he's going to get you wherever you are in your own religion. You see? And God says, all these people are not going to be in my kingdom. Are not going to be in my city because they are dogs. And that's why he told his people, I don't want you to bring any money, any you know, donation to the temple. That is the price of a dog. Or the hire or the harlot. I don't want you to go to a prostitute or prostitutes, you know, take money, and then they want to feel religious and they go to the temple. As mentioned, you know, was mentioned earlier, when I lived in Paris, I saw literally those women do it. Prostitutes. They're mothers. They have children. Not all of them, but many are. To them, that's a job. And after that, you know, feel good about it because they feel guilty. They go to one of those churches that were there. In that section of Paris, the fashion industry is there, the garment industry. That's where I worked for a while. And I would see them, you know, walk into the churches and they give money and they feel good about it because they've been taught that pagan religion doctrine that, you know, well, the body, you know, the dualistic theology that came from Plato, from a pagan, you know, he was homosexual himself and others, and Aristotle. Dualism, all these things. Well, the body is filthy, polluted, and all, you know, but, you know, the spirit is wholesome and clean, and don't worry about it. You know, give some money to the church, say a few high, you know, Hail Marys and things like that, and you're okay. God says, oh, no. This is all of Babylon. It's all of the devil. It's not of me. These are dogs. These are sorcerers. These are sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. They too are not going to be there. In other words, any person who despises the law of God and does not walk in the law of God, he is not going to be in. So if you want to be in the kingdom of God, if you want to be like God, you have to obey His law. There is no other way. You see? And when people study the law of God from the beginning until the end, they know what it means to be holy and clean and pure and sanctified and justified and have a pure mind and a pure heart, pure sexuality, pure anything in life. And they teach the children to be likewise, and they do not produce prostitutes, harlots, fornicators, pornographers, and all kind of things like that. And all these people that you see in the media and entertainment and all that, they would never be this kind of people had they been taught the law of God. But they are not being taught the law of God. And ultimately, if they do not repent, they are not going to be there. And all those who lie to them are not going to be there either. Those who love lies and practice it. I, Jesus, so now he's speaking to him. John, I, Jesus, have sent my angel. So he's talking about his angel that he sent, but he himself was talking to him, and he himself is the angel of God, you see. And sometimes you read that, and you can get a little confused about that, and then you have to go back and clear up the matter, you see. So he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. So he's talking to him on one hand, and then also he's sending him an angel to speak to him, just like he did with Moses. You see? And when you don't study all that, you know, you get a little confused there, because it's easy to get confused sometimes when you read this kind of terminology. When is it that God, person to person, spoke to Moses or he to John? And when is it that he sent an angel? You see? So you have to read very carefully. And so it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches, for all of them, not just for you, for everybody, for all those to come. I am the root and offspring of David, this bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride. Now, who is the Spirit? Jesus Christ. And the bride, Israel. That's how he describes them here at this point. He goes back and forth, as all the apostles and the prophets did. And so Jesus Christ, you might say, and the bride, the Spirit and the bride, they say, come. Invitation, open invitation. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. If he's willing to obey the law of God, obviously. Not if he just wants to do his own thing. For I, that is Jesus Christ, the Spirit, testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, Jesus Christ is saying here, and through his angel is giving this warning also to all of us, anybody who does that, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. He's going to take it personally and come after you. That's what he's saying here. Yeah, a lot of people were not afraid. They literally burned the Bible. And they also perverted a lot of these teachings. Well, their turn is coming when God is going to judge them. You know, we don't need to do it. It's not our job. Verse 19, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. So even if your name has been there in the book of life, it's going to be erased. So he says, don't take it, you know, I mean, don't take it lightly. Don't make fun of these words. Don't despise me. Don't despise my law. This is my command. Are you going to obey this command of God? This is one of the final commands that he gave humanity. He says, God, the Father, is going to take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. All the glory that is going to be there for the divine sons of God to be born, and the universe that is ahead of them, and eternal life and majesty and glory. God means business. He who testifies to this thing says, surely I'm coming quickly. So Christ is speaking through his angel, and also in person. Amen, he says. Even so, now, John is writing, even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You see? Well, that's the end, in essence, of the teaching of the series of the law of God. From Genesis 1:1, when God says, let us create men in our image and likeness, to the final end of it, where we literally become those sons of God, dwelling in a city of Jerusalem that is on this earth, obedient to the law forever, because the law will never be done away with. And to those, that's what Jesus Christ is saying. I'm coming quickly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, to those who do it. And that's the end of the series. Amen. and amen, as they would say in the synagogue when they finish reading the book of the law. Greetings, all of God's people again. This is Mordecai Joseph, and God's willing, if we have some opportunity later on, I think we might be able to do it, but I don't know. I have a special series on the Trinity itself, because that's a problem for many, you see. It shouldn't be by now if you've listened to the entirety of the series, but for sake of convenience, for some who may have a need for it, we might do it in the future, God's willing. And so to all those who remember, who is the author of the law? But God is. He's the head of the family in Jesus Christ, His Word, the King of Israel, the God of Israel. All to them, as John would say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And again, greetings to all of God's people. This is Mordecai Joseph. That's the end of this series.